This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Very nice. We've got an opportunity here to talk to Paul. Not that we ever need one, but with the Amerks in Syracuse for Game 3 of their playoff series. Best of five?
Yes.
Hoping for a three-game sweep. Let's find out what's going on there. Paul Hamilton joins us on the West Her Hotline. Paul, are you in Syracuse?
I am not, no.
Okay.
I was a couple years ago when Game 5 was in Syracuse, and that was the year Rochester went to the conference finals, and they actually won that game in overtime, so I was very happy I was there. It was a great game.
What is happening so far in this series? I saw a Levi shutout. And another game where the Amerks came from behind to win.
It's been very interesting. Syracuse scored twice in game one to open the scoring and haven't scored since. Rochester scored seven straight goals, coming back to win that game 3-2 and then winning the next game 4-0. So, they just need to get a little bit out of their system right in the beginning. And once that happened, and it's not just Levi slamming the door. It was a 35-save shutout, but honestly, he could see every shot, and you can just see the way he's moving now. He's the type of goalie, and I know we've talked about this even when he was in Buffalo. He can get herky-jerky and be all over the place. He's not right now. He's very under control. Even if he can't see a shot, he's not panicking. He's not all over the ice. He's, moving from side to side with the flow of the play nicely. And the Amerks are playing very well in front of him where he can see the shots. It's very few shots that are screened. And even like the second period in the shutout the other day, Rochester didn't have a real great second period. They gave up, 15, 16 shots, something like that. Their puck management wasn't very good in that middle frame. But still, even with that being said, they're good enough defensively that when they make a mistake like that, they can get back and they help each other out. And I've really been impressed with their defensive effort that they've played. And I don't want to say it's been easy on Levi because 35 saves isn't easy.
Right.
But just the types of chances that are coming at him, very, very few are screened or three-on-ones or anything like that.
Not a lot of high-danger chances, maybe
right.
It sounds like, right?
Right?
So, good. How much more equipped do you think this team is now? You referenced 2 years ago when you were in Syracuse when they won that Game 5 to advance. I feel like when they ran into Hershey, if I have that right, that year, uh-huh. Hershey was like, it was all guys with beards.
Yeah.
And the Amerks were, all guys who, aren't shaving yet. I'm exaggerating maybe only a little. How do you think this Amerk team is more equipped to handle that if it comes? I mean, I don't know what lies waiting for them if they get past this Syracuse team here. I'm just curious if you think they might be more equipped to handle it if it gets, more rugged like it did against Hershey that year 2 years ago.
Beck Malenstein was on that Hershey team. We had a conversation. There was a hit in that series, which was, to me, unbelievable. It was Hershey was that big Goonie team, and they hit, put a hit. Their captain put a hit on Roseanne at center ice, and Malenstein remembers it very, very well. As the helmet came flying off, and it wound up in like the sixth row of the stands, and Roseanne got right up. He didn't lay on the ice. It was like, honestly, I was expecting him to leave on a stretcher. That's how hard he got hit. And he got right up. And Malenstein said, everybody on the Hershey bench is like, you're kidding. He actually just getting up? And they were pretty impressed by that. And you know what? They're facing a team right now that is very big, very dirty. They really make the Broad Street Bullies look like choir boys. I mean, this is a group that will hit you from behind. They will put you head first into the wall. They will punch you in the back of the head when you're not looking. They are big. It's the gooniest team I've seen in a long, long time. And I'll tell you what, the Amherst are up for it. I mean, they're not backing down, so to speak. Their kid Russian defenseman stood up to one of the biggest Syracuse guys, got in a wild fight. I mean, they were going back and forth, punching both ways, but then the kid got caught.
Yeah.
And he took an uppercut and wound up on the ice. I don't know if he was unconscious, but if he wasn't, he was pretty close.
That was pretty scary. I saw footage of that, and that's one of those cringe, you know, it's one of those moments where you're, you know, oh, a fight. I remember liking
even the Syracuse player stood over him, Finley, to make sure he was okay.
Yeah.
Because he just knew he had tagged him. But, you know, as Komarov, who's in his first year as a pro, he's a big guy too. And until that punch hit, he accounted for himself very well. I mean, he didn't hesitate at all to stand there and go. And it was a very fair fight. That there was nothing dirty about that fight.
There's right.
A lot
right.
of dirty things that go on in the game when Syracuse is playing. But that wasn't one of them. But he and the other Russian kid, Novikov, have played very, very well. And I remember liking Novikov last year. He's in his second year. And, you know, they're guys that aren't quite ready for Buffalo now, but I think are going to be good NHL players. And they're big. Novikov doesn't play quite as rambunctious maybe as Komarov does. But I almost put them ahead of Johnson. Not that I think Ryan Johnson is awful by any means. He is who he is. I'm not sure he's going to be an NHL player. He's right on that line. I'm pretty sure he's not going to play like a first-round draft pick would. But I almost put those two Russian kids maybe ahead in the game as guys that maybe could make an impact in the NHL. As I said, maybe not next year, but fairly soon.
I'm going to provide this as a service to anyone else in our audience who, when Paul said this Syracuse team is really dirty, your mind tripped to Paul Newman in Reg Dunlop and Slapshot. I am personally placing a $100 bounty on the head of Tim McCracken. He's the head coach and chief punk on that Syracuse team. The radio announcer says, a bounty? Yep, $100 of my own money for the first of my guys that really nails that creep. I'm here for you, folks.
That was right out there.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I had to look it up. I didn't have it. I read it, but I was able to do that while you were talking.
But you know what? They're fine with it. As I said, they've scored 7 consecutive goals. It's like, okay, you guys sit in the penalty box.
Yeah.
You guys, you know, we know we're going to go head first into the wall. That's fine. We'll make a play right before you do it. And even Kulik, I didn't see game one. He didn't get on the score sheet. But game two, I couldn't have been more impressed. And the first note I wrote down about him wasn't offensively. It's like took his check right back to the crease and helped create a scoring chance. Had he like let his man go, he would have been wide open for a pass. But he took him right back to the crease. And I thought, that's right there is what they've been trying to teach Kulik for the last couple of years since he's been around in North America. And that's what Lindy Ruff has talked about, you know, how much he's improved. That was the first note I wrote about him. It was a defensive note. And then he blocks a shot, can't even put any weight on his foot going to the bench. They basically have to push him there. He won't leave the bench. They want him to go. He won't. And he just, you know, kept trying to work it out. There was a break in play. He tries to skate it off, can't. and then basically kind of stumbles back into the bench. But he stayed long enough that he could kind of walk it off or whatever, and then got on the ice and got a goal and an assist, and was a big difference maker in that game. I mean, he just refused to leave that game.
How high are your hopes for him here next year? What is his role? What is his ceiling for you?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if he and Norris are your top two centers and they leave Thompson on the wing. Lindy Ruff talked about that, and I see this coming, where you can always put Thompson back in the middle, even in the middle of a game. If things aren't working out or whatever, you can always make that change and put him back in the middle. And there was so much improvement. And the difference between Kulik and some of these other young players who just don't seem to be getting it is Kulik spent over 100 games in the American Hockey League. I think he was brought along the right way. They never rushed him up here. And, you know, then he gets up here. He's had the experience in the American Hockey League, and you could see him apply it. And then you could see when he finally was put at center by Lindy Ruff, how it kind of all clicked in for him. And now he is a pretty good two-way player. And Lindy talked about how he could put him out against the other team's best lines. And he wasn't embarrassing himself. You know, he was doing an okay job, you know, with the back checking and getting back with them. And because, you know, he was brought along the right way. You know, Cousins never played a game in the American Hockey League. Paterka and Quinn hardly played any. Samuelson hardly played any. And everybody was just rushed up here. And it's been a disaster for them for the most part. Paterka's been okay, although, you know, he's had to learn the two-way game. I think this year was better than last. I still don't think he's there yet. But you could see improvement in his defensive game this year. And, of course, his offensive game, he's got 55 goals in the last 2 years. Can't sneeze at that. But, you know, Levi was another one. He was just lost. And then finally, for the last year and a half, I think they've done a good job with letting him go down there and learn his trade. And we'll see how that carries over into the NHL next year. But, you know, he's started the playoffs off fantastic. You know, as I said, gave up two early goals and hasn't given up another one since. And, you know, is really playing well. He's an all-star down in Rochester. But I think they finally maybe learned their lesson and are doing the right things with him also.
You know, this leaving Thompson on the wing thing is probably a few things going on, or at least a couple anyway. A, you've got guys who can play center that you can rely on. Norris, if he's healthy, is a really solid 200.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Foot player.
Yeah,
So, like, I have no concerns there. But again, he's got to be healthy for this to come off. And if you can count on Kulik there, because I feel like, Paul, going all the way back to early in the season, I remember a pregame interview, a game I was going to. So I was listening in my truck, not here hosting the show with you and Mike. And Ruff was talking about Cousins and Thompson and the difficulty both were having. with the defensive roles in his system. And I feel like at this point, with Ruff, assuming he's their head coach, and I have no reason to think otherwise at this point, that he might be done with Thompson at center. I think he just doesn't trust that he can do what he needs done on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I think part of it is the growth of Kulik. I think he was at the – that was probably when he was at the point of the season, is, all right, we got to do something here. And Kulik is a centerman playing wing, and that wasn't going real well. So I think Lindy Ruff was to the point, why not? What do we have to lose? Let's put Kulik at center and Thompson in the wing and see what happens. And it worked right away, especially for Thompson. His production did not fall off in the least.
Right.
He seems okay with it. You know, when you talk to him about it, you just look at him or listen closely to him. It's not like he's just doing player speak. He seems fine. It's like, if that's where they want me to play, fine. I'll play there, because his production has been just as good on the wing as it was at center. But Kulik is much better at center than he is on the wing, so I think that matters also.
I'd have to really think about what the Team USA depth chart looks like down the middle, but playing wing for Thompson might give him a better chance of making the Olympic team too.
Yeah,
like, off the top of my head, Eichel and Austin Matthews, you know, so if from there you're looking for more defensive-minded role-type players, then that takes Thompson off the table, so maybe wing is his ticket to trying to make that team.
And for people who are curious, that gets going in 8 days, because you'll be able to watch all of Team USA's games on the USA Network.
Oh, the World Championships, right, 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 right.
Yeah, the World Championship, so for Team USA. And he was quite frank about it, that he went to play – he's going to play with Team USA so they can get a look at him. And, you know, he hopes he earns a spot on the Olympic team by going to the World Championship. And Tuck would have gone if he – but he and his wife are having their second child. And that's – if it hasn't happened already, it sounded like it's very close. So he felt, of course, that he needed to be home for that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he'd be over there. Really, the only one – you know, because Paterka and Byram don't have contracts, so they're not going to be in it. Lukanen told me no. I wonder if he was even invited. You know, he was the third goalie
Four Nations.
For the Four Nations. Yeah. And the only other one was Dahlin, and I could kind of understand if Dahlin doesn't want to go. I mean, he wasn't used very well at all in the Four Nations.
Right.
He was basically – now, he played with Forsling, and I thought that was good.
Yep.
I thought they were a good pair. I thought Dahlin played very well in the Four Nations, but yet they'd get to overtime.
They deferred to Carlson because of experience, I think, is what probably happened there.
Yeah, and Carlson cost him 2 goals.
Yeah.
One definitely was all his fault. The other one he was on the ice for, I don't know if I could blame him for it. And he played like less than 30 seconds in the 2 games he was on the ice before the other team scored. In overtime. He played 2 overtimes in less than 30 total seconds and was on the ice for 2 goals against, and Dahlin never saw the ice. So I could see where Rasmus Dahlin maybe is a little upset with the coach of Team Sweden, and maybe that's why when I asked him, he's like, oh, I don't know. You know, he just seemed very noncommittal of the thing. I haven't seen one way or the other. I don't think Sweden has released their roster. He would probably be the only one that could be over there because of no contracts. And as I said, Alex Tuck,
Have to think he'd have a bigger op. Well, I mean, Carlson's not in the playoffs, but a lot of guys are. Like Tampa just got eliminated. I don't know if Hedman's going to want to go right to that from this, right? Forsling is still playing with Florida. So, like, he probably would have a more prime role if he did go for the World Championships. It's a, you know, it's a tier down from that Four Nations and certainly the Olympics. Do you know, Paul, that we won't be able to find out in 8 days when they really ramp up. Is Thompson going with Team USA to play wing or center, or don't we know?
He didn't say. He might not even know.
Right.
Because they're just getting to training camp now. If today wasn't the first day of training camp, tomorrow is. And they are going to get a preseason game in there. So he may not even know until he gets over there and starts practicing exactly what their thought process is and where they want him to play and who they want him to play with.
Rochester at Syracuse tonight, Game 3 in the best of 5. Rochester leads the series 2-0. The winner of the series will face the winner of Laval-Cleveland, best of 5, and Laval is up 1-0, having won last night to open that series. They keep AHL playoffs, they keep it all in the division. It's like the old Adams, you know.
Yeah, it's very spread out because, and I understand totally, they don't want Tuesday games. I mean, yeah. You know, they want Friday, Saturday, Sunday games for attendance and that type of thing.
Yep.
Rochester didn't sell out either one of the first two, and they had, you know, weekend games. So Thursday, yeah, that's not Friday, but at least it's not Tuesday. So Syracuse right. gets Thursday, Saturday. And then if there's a game five, it won't come off until the next Friday in Rochester.
Oh, wow.
So that's why it's all spread out like that, just because they want to, as best they can, get games more towards the weekend or on the weekend. And Laval is the team, by the way, that Rochester fought all year to be in first place. Laval finally wound up in first place by X amount of points. It wasn't by much, maybe 5-4, something like that. So that would be a good series if Laval and Rochester were to tank.
Right, that's Montreal's team. Who is Cleveland's?
Oh, I don't know.
I do know. And I
Columbus?
I think yes, that's
thank
right.
Thank you.
Yes, that's a job, thank Mike. You. Yes, that is right.
Baby. Who are the Colorado Eagles? Avs? That's a new one for me, Colorado Eagles.
That is, because that's where Landeskog went when he was doing conditioning okay. before he yeah. came back, so that is right.
Look at us.
Any thoughts on the playoffs, Paul, so far? Like, Toronto's got to be feeling it here a little bit. Maybe their fans more than the players even, but I would guess some guys might be a little tense even though they didn't want to let on.
Oh, I'm sure they're very tense. Especially with, you know, game six now in Ottawa, you know, so that, yeah, that I'm sure they're pretty squirrely right now after, you know, with what has happened over the years. Tampa Bay surprised me because Tampa Bay looked like they were going to make this series 2-2. And then in like less than a minute with 3 minutes left, all of a sudden they go from one goal up to one goal down. And I think, at least in my mind, that I knew right then and there.
Knockout punch, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to try in your next game, but you probably aren't going to.
There was a moment last night. I don't know how closely you watched Tampa and Florida last night, but there was, I think, in the second period, they were trading goals.
Yep.
There was Bobrovsky made a save on someone in all alone, and the rebound came right out to another Tampa player. And he just, from, I think almost from the splits, managed to like make himself big enough, sit up enough to make the save on the rebound. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like, mm-hmm. oh man, like yeah. good luck to you.
Tampa, so that's, that being a 5-game series is surprising to me. I don't know if you guys, how much you saw Washington.
Yeah.
I just screamed out Thomas Vanek when I saw the Caps come in early in the game and set up Van Riemsdyk down the slot, and he wound it up and just ripped a slap shot, you know, basically on a breakaway, like Thomas Vanek used to do. But there was one difference. Thomas Vanek usually would score. Van Riemsdyk missed the net.
Yeah.
But it's not very often you see some guy coming in alone and just wind it up and take a slap shot. And Vanek was the first thing that came to mind.
I love that you mentioned that. That always looked impossible. In shootouts, he would do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had other moves.
Right.
But yes. In a shootout, he would go right down the middle and just rip it right over your shoulder.
Right from the
and
hash.
And then he had
right.
that little around-the-world move
right.
where he'd come
right.
down and put his stick above the puck and go around the world a couple of times over the top of the puck. So the goalie didn't know, is he going to take it in the backhand, forehand, what's he going to do? And that was a great move for him, too.
He beat Hasek with Ottawa when the Sabres were really coming there in early 06. Paul, before you go.
Yes.
I'm guessing you do know this. Aaron Judge is hitting .427 mm-hmm. while leading the American League, if not the majors, in home runs and RBIs. 1282 OPS, which, you know, it's a long way to go. It's not full season yet, but that would be like, that's Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth territory.
I'm sure it's not going to happen, but I would love to see him hit .400. That would be awesome. Just to see it happen.
Yeah.
You know.
That's one we haven't had yet. We've had 70 homers. We've had, I mean, a lot of, we have Ohtani, but 50-50.
Right.
But then we're going to have the debate about the bats, whatever they're calling those
torpedo bats.
Torpedo bats. I don't know.
I don't think it's worth worrying about.
Yeah,
I don't think it is either, but it's so talked about. Well, the Yankees are doing great because they're using torpedo bats, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
No one else is forbidden from using torpedo bats,
I was
going
to say,
right?
Are the torpedo bats, are they the only team that are allowed to use them? I'm trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
No, it's calmed down a little bit, like their production. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
There's Paul Hamilton on our West Her Hotline. His appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your futures about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
As a team, they hit 267. And Judge does not use a torpedo bat. At least that's the last I heard. When that started, beginning of the season, they had that series against Milwaukee, and they were all hitting crazy home runs, and then we started talking about torpedo bats, but Judge doesn't use one. So there you go. For whatever reason. Stanton, now I'm remembering all this. Stanton did. He was hurt. Stanton did.
Stanton's hurt?
Yeah. He did, and like last year.
He's so terrible.
But he was great in the postseason last year, yeah. And he was injured, and there was some speculation that the bat had something to do with it, but I don't know where that stands. It's just I'm remembering a conversation from like almost a month ago now. I'm sure a lot has changed in a month.
Probably.
Earlier today, Mike Giardi. Here's a guy who doesn't change. He always comes on and is great. Boston Sports Journal, mostly on the Patriots, a little bit on the Bills and the AFC East. Oh, and of course up top, Belichick and his girlfriend and all that drama. That's coming your way next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.